Hi, this is Aaron Crocco.
And I'm Gozer.
And we're from The GeekCast, which you could find at www.geekcastonline.com. And you're listening to Strangely Literal with Tabs.
Dislike that Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal.
What? I don't say that. No one says that. No one talks that way.
Strangely Literal, the podcast.
You haven't seen my drawer of inappropriate starches.
Here's the part where you make a choice.
Deborah Book was just telling us funny stories about his life at the monastery.
This goes beyond anything I've ever done. It's a total loss of control. And not the nice, wholesome my girlfriend has pierced tongue cut away.
I think you've already figured out I'm not the poster boy for normal.
I've given some thought to moving off the edge. Not an ideal location.
What a crazy random happenstance.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to Strangely Literal, the podcast. Yep, I'm back. I think this is close to the last one that you guys will get before Tabs returns. I hope you guys... Oh, yes, I think you'll have Tabs back in the very next episode of Strangely Literal, if all goes well. I hope you guys all enjoyed this group of guest hosts, and I hope you all enjoy this awesome story for today. This is a Firefly story. It's called Three Ships Mal Liked and One He Loved. It's a really neat treat of a story. It's got bits of Mal's history and some familiar bits from the show Firefly. So I hope you guys all enjoy it. It was a treat to read, and we have it being read here by our lovely reader, Jean. Enjoy.
Time for some thrilling heroics.
Here's how it is.
You get killed, I'm telling.
Okay, that's new.
Three Ships Mal Liked and One He Loved by Meg. Serenity isn't the first boat Malcolm Reynolds shipped out on. Of course, he was on plenty of ships during the war, but those didn't count. Those weren't his and didn't give him purpose. Others did. 1. The first time Mal goes into space, he's acting as a courier for a cattle ship his mother is sending off-world. So his first venture into space is also his first time smuggling illegal cargo across interplanetary borders. He's 16 and so thrilled to be out in space and out from his mother's careful watch that he barely thinks about the cattle lowing in the hold. The job takes him from Chateau to Beaumont, where he and the crew make the trade with some ranchers getting a start. They were far more interested in cutting costs than abiding by arbitrary laws whose only purpose was to take a cut of their profit. And Mal finds that oddly admirable. From there, the crew heads to Santo, where his mother's arranged for them to purchase some seed and nutrient supplements. Times are hard, and Mrs. Reynolds is hedging her bets. Cattle need to be fed. Better to have feed on hand than buy it from someone else. Mal's first job goes without significant incident, and it leaves him with the impression that when you have a ship, you're unstoppable. That ship's name was the Orchid. 2. The second time Mal ships out, it's with a crew that transport workers and families from the central planets to settle terraformed worlds. On this boat, Mal works in inventory and guarding the lockers, and while it's monotonous work, at least he's on the move. At 22, he already understands that when you put down roots, you're an easy target. Every time he sends a wave to his mother back on Shadow, she begs him to come back and help her with the ranch, but the thought makes him uneasy. If he had any intention of settling on a planet and raising a family, living like normal folk, they were scattered on a run they did about 15 months after he signed on. They had already dropped off 2 groups of settlers on Lilac, and were making a 3rd transport. The world was growing fast, mainly due to the discovery of spices that could be mined near the surface. There was plenty of work available, and folk weren't likely to pass that up if they were already on hard times. When they dropped off the 3rd transport, however, they found the growing town they were dropping people off at had just been hit by slavers. They had come in the night and taken whoever they could drag back to their ships. There was actually a riot of people trying to board the ship, and the new settlers weren't really interested in getting off either, though the captain told them they'd have to pay for passage back. From what Mal saw, nothing good came of being settled, and Lilac never prospered after that, being an easy target for slavers so far from civilization. That ship was the Wanderer. 3. After a stint transporting citizens to New Worlds, Mal joined up with a small crew that handled jobs as they come and didn't ask too many questions. He comes to idolize the captain who takes him under his wing. It's from Captain Daniskold, everyone called him Captain Dan, that Mal learns to shoot a pistol fast and right, how to negotiate, how to spot lawmen posing as passengers. The captain gives Mal the job of being there when the trade goes down, in case he needed a sharp gunman or caustic wit to make their point known. They do the job, and they get paid for it. Period. Working with Captain Dan puts the idea in Mal's head again, starting up his own crew. The captain lets Mal know that if he stays on long enough, he can make pilot or first mate. It'd be the experience he'd need to get a real start. If he moved on later, it would be good to know someone you could call on or do deals with. Mal lets himself plan more than a day in advance. Then, without warning, the rebellion against the Alliance starts, and Mal finds himself having chosen a side, even with the ship. Captain Dan won't tolerate anyone with too loud an opinion, though, aiming to steer clear of trouble and survive. Someone in the crew takes this to be support for the rebellion, however, and sends a wave to the Alliance, notifying them of the ship's destination. The crew is lucky the attack comes when they're approaching Bernadette to finish a job, because the Alliance is taken to shooting first and not asking questions ever. 7 of the crew make it onto the shuttle, but the captain won't leave his ship. Mal's last memory of Dan was him slamming the shuttle door shut and hitting the release button. He doesn't know if the mole got off the ship and tries not to think about wanting to kill someone he had slipped out with for 10 months. 2 days after the crew hits the planet and disperses, Mal finds the local browncoat group and volunteers. Captain Dan's ship was Stryker. 4. When he sees her lying at the outskirts of the junkyard, Mal knows she's the one. She looks like she's already perched for flight, and he can barely hear the salesman behind him yapping on about the hunk of yellow junk punching the sky behind them. This one, though, he knows fireflies. They can be a little hard to manage, but with good mechanic, she could be everything. Zoe has a slightly different perspective on the ship. Mal looks at her expectantly. Well? Zoe gives him a look before venturing to speak. You paid money for this, sir? On purpose? Mal is taken aback. What? Come on. Seriously, Zoe, what do you think? She clears her throat carefully before speaking. Honestly, sir, I think you got robbed. Robbed? What? No. What do you mean? It's a piece of Fayu. Fayu? Okay, she won't be winning any beauty contests anytime soon, but she is solid. A ship like this. Be with you till the day you die. Because it's a death trap, Zoe points out. Mal blanches, discouraged that she doesn't see what he sees. Yet she'll get there. That's not... You're very much lacking in imagination. I imagine that's so, sir, Zoe returns, trying not to laugh. At misfortune or at him, she's not sure. Come on. You ain't seen the most of it, Mal grumbles. I'll show you the rest. Try to see what she is. And try to see past what she is and onto what she can be. Zoe hesitates. What's that, sir? Mal grins, incorrigible in his dreams for this ship. Freedom is what? Zoe sighs. No, I mean, what's that? Mal pauses, looks down in confusion. Oh, yeah, just step around it. I think something must have been living in here. He continues to ramble about the possibility to his first mate's ever more concerned ear. I tell you, Zoe, we find ourselves a mechanic, get her running again, hire a good pilot, maybe even a cook, live like real people. Small crew, them as feel the need to be free, take jobs as they come, and will never be under the heel of nobody ever again. No matter how long the arm of the Alliance might get, we just get ourselves a little further. Get her running again, Zoe cannot help but point out. What had possessed him to buy this instead of something operational, she wondered. Mal pauses again, awkward for a moment, before pushing on. Yeah? So not running now? Mal tries not to look at her. Not so much, but she will. They move deeper into the ship, Mal picking up the outline of his dream again, determined to win Zoe over. I already know what I'm going to call her. Got a name all picked out. Serenity.
All of the characters and universes referenced here are the intellectual copyrighted material of Joss Whedon, the Fox Network, Universal Pictures, and others. This podcast and the stories contained herein are purely for entertainment purposes, and no money or Second Life money was made off of this. All stories are by individuals and used with permission from the author. Strangely Literal was created in Chicago and is now produced in Los Angeles and has no connection or affiliation with Joss Whedon. For more information about this show, please check out our website at strangelyliteral.com.
The podcast you're listening to is a part of the Between the Lines Studios network. To find more great podcasts, please visit www.betweenthelinesstudios.com.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.